Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Demon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. We got an awful lot of stuff to talk about with Nick Friedell, who joins us from ESPN. Pardon me. Frog in the throat. He covers the league oh so well. He is all over the Warriors, and the Warriors have been all over a huge extension for Curry, some free agency. And the news today, Nick, that Eric Paschal has been traded to the Utah Jazz. Now, do you think this is the story, or there will be more to it? Is this the first step involved in a Kelly Oubre, Ingles, finagle, need another team to help out with it? Or do you just think the Warriors have traded Paschal to Donovan Mitchell's romper room?
Damon, for the time being, I think that Bobby Marks tweet put everything in perspective nicely. You get off Paschal's salary for, you know, $1.5 million or so, and you save like $12 or $13 million in tax bills because the Warriors are so far deep in the repeater tax. I mean, as far as corresponding moves off of this move, I'm expecting completely Andre Iguodala to be on this team unless something crazy changes here. And so that's another roster spot. And then you wonder what's going to happen with the Oubre sign and trade, if there's going to be one. It doesn't feel like there's a huge market for him right now, but with free agency, everything is so weird. But look, the reality is when you watch Paschal in his rookie year, everybody tried to fall in love. He wasn't playing with anybody. Draymond was only there kind of half in, half out, and a lot of the rest of those guys are long gone. And then when Paschal had a role and needed to play a certain way alongside Steph, alongside Draymond, and Wiseman and Wiggins last year, he struggled with it. So it shows you how quickly everything can turn. But in the moment, it just feels like, well, we're clearing out a spot. Somebody else is going to come in later and fill it. And in the short term, we're saving a bunch of money.
So just quickly, the Bobby Marks tweet, it doesn't make a ton of sense to me, just because that $1.8 million that turns into $12 million or whatever, that's basically a veteran minimum. So you're not actually saving anything if, in fact, like you said, they sign Andre Iguodala to a minimum. Other than Iguodala, who's out there for them to fill these roster spots with if there's not an Oubre sign and trade?
Matt, this is the problem I think the Warriors are running into right now. I think Andre fits a role and certainly is a great veteran presence, but anybody who is thinking that Andre is going to come in and have some massive impact on the floor, I don't think that's correct, because anybody watching him the last couple of years in Miami can tell you he just doesn't look like the same player. So I don't know who that guy is. And part of the issue here is there was a lot of focus on that taxpayer mid-level while we're in the topic of paying the taxes, how much more money is going to be spent, possibly. There is a realistic chance right now, guys, they may not use that thing at all because there's just not that kind of impact player on the market. Now, who knows what's going to happen down the line? And I'd caution anybody who says, they're not making moves right now or they're missing out on different pieces. That's true to a point, but let's see what happens closer up to the trade deadline, and let's see if Wiseman can take a step and if Moody and Kuminga can develop behind the scenes. Then who knows what may happen if that that next star that we don't see right now gets unhappy in their role on a different team and wants to be moved. But for the time being, there is nobody out there, to your point, who's jumping off the page and you're going, oh, well, they got to get him. I think they wanted Batum. It didn't happen. There was some interest, it felt like, in Patty Mills. It didn't happen. And now you just wait to see what else happens and who lands where at the end of this free agency process.
Is the worldview of the Warriors, and by that I mean the other 29 teams and the players therein, still that of a team that, you know, doesn't compel you to want to play with them right now? And if so, why not?
Ray, I think the hardest thing for the Warriors is they can't sell you for sure that they're going to be able to compete for a title this season. And Bob Myers was honest in what he said to the media after the draft, and he's mentioned it a couple times. He said, we felt like we were in some ties last year, and people called us, and they said, well, Clay got hurt, sorry. And it just feels like, and I'm sure we'll talk to Bob here in the next week or two once all these moves have been finalized, but it feels like the Warriors are in that same spot right now, that they're in the conversation and have been for several guys, and they're just not able to land the type of guys they want. Now, Otto Porter is a perfect example. That is not a guy I'm particularly high on, having watched him at the end of his tenure with the Wizards and in those couple years in Chicago and that cup of coffee in Orlando. But Otto Porter could have gotten some more money somewhere else and wants to revitalize his career playing alongside Steph, Draymond, and hopefully Clay at some point. So in that regard, the Warriors did – it felt like they did get a win. But, I mean, has anybody watched Otto Porter lately? He doesn't look very good, and he can't stay healthy. So if it can happen, it would be a nice surprise. But to what you're getting at, I don't think they're winning those ties anymore. And I've said this the last couple weeks, and I believe it sincerely. The Warriors' best chance to go after a title, to get those players who in other situations would come here and try to chase a ring, it's not this summer, it's next summer. Because this is a season of clarity. Where's Clay at physically? Where are Steph and Draymond, especially Steph after just dominating last season? Where are these younger kids, the G League All-Star team that's coming off the bench, and Wiseman and Moody and Kuminga? Is Wiggins a better fit now, you would think, with Clay on the floor? And then next summer you go in and you say, okay, we are really ready to compete again. What do you have as far as veterans who may want to come here? And that's what's fascinating to me as they start to build this roster with an eye towards next season and beyond.
Our pal Nick Friedell, and again, I think that you don't even have to pretend you're reading in between the lines when you go into the Marcus Thompson piece on The Athletic, where he actually got to talk to Curry, who basically said the upcoming season's broken down into three parts: surviving until Clay returns, integrating Clay, and then a postseason look. And I think that that's the right way to look at it, and I also think that Curry's extension means the right way to look at this is this is not a you have to be everything all next year. You just reset the timeline almost, because in all things Curry, this team trusts, and there are five more years around the corner.
Damon, I agree with you. I think Steph's mindset has been that all along, and he said that in the last few months when we've talked to him, that he doesn't feel like his prime is ending anytime soon, and he doesn't feel like the championship window for this group is ending anytime soon. And in reading that story from Marcus, it's very clear that he knows that the front office is trying to put the pieces in play to win, and he's always seemed to trust Joe Lacob. And when you have that trust from your top star, the guy who has been everything for years for this team, then you're not going to have many problems. And certainly Steph doesn't have any as the first guy to sign the $200 million plus deal twice. So I think that confidence that he has echoed here over the last 6 months or so about the window remaining open is top down. Because I can tell you, inside the organization, they feel that. It's not a one-year proposition that everything has to work right away. It's just that I'd caution anybody who said, oh, well, maybe they can hold it open for 3 or 4 years. No. I don't believe that. I don't know if it's closed, and I think that they're trying to make sure that everything lines up this season to get Clay back and make him feel comfortable. But I really believe the year to strike is next season, because I don't know, and it's not just a Steph thing. It's not just Clay coming back off the injury. The guy who's really concerning to me as far as falling off a little bit is Draymond. And I'm not sure how many more years he can play at this level defensively, especially when he's not giving you much on the offensive end.
How long will it take for you to be able to make up your mind what the whether that viewpoint is correct or not? Is it 2 weeks? Is it a month? Is it the first month of the season? I mean, how long do you think it's going to take for this to play out and for a sense of what the Warriors believe they are to really crystallize?
Ray, I would give it to the first of next year, because I would think by the first of next year, we're going to know where Clay is. And that we could go through the draft picks all day long. We could talk about, can Steph maintain this level? And can Draymond still be motivated night to night and really be a difference maker? All of those are good questions, and they're relevant. But the only question that really matters is whether or not Klay Thompson looks like the Klay Thompson of old. If he does, the Warriors have a shot. They always are going to have a shot with Steph, Klay, and Draymond, and the guys who are coming up behind them who can either develop or be used in another deal. If Klay doesn't look like Klay, it's over. It's that simple. So as far as what it looks like in the future and what the future may hold for this group, I'm looking at the first of next year, giving Clay a couple more months into the season to get reacclimated, to find a rhythm. And then by January or February, I would think you know or have a really good idea of whether or not Clay looks like Clay. And if he does, the Warriors are in good shape, not only for next year, obviously, on a potential playoff run, but I really think they're positioning themselves well for whatever may come next summer and making those additions, knowing that potential free agents and guys who want a ring chase know that Steph, Clay, and Draymond are all healthy and motivated to make one more run.
And I think, to your point, Nick, that there was nothing they could have done that would have changed the situation you just explained, where Clay means everything. So why mortgage the future before you even see whether you have Clay? Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't know if you've seen the Warriors and Sixers have reengaged rumor this morning, but it's out there, and it also includes Philly being incredibly motivated to move Ben Simmons. Just how far do you think the price would have to drop for the Warriors to start getting interested in Simmons?
I don't believe it would drop to a point where the conversations would get that real, Matt, because I would think that other teams might make a fuller offer from where the Warriors are right now. I mean, if you're telling me you could get Ben Simmons for Wiseman and Moody and Kuminga and like a pick, well, okay, maybe. But, I mean, if you start throwing in Wiggins, who really, as much as I had my doubts about him, guys, we've talked about it for months now, Wiggins on this team fits. Wiggins in this role fits. And so to lose him and to mortgage all your young assets to get Ben Simmons, whose confidence at the moment appears broken, that doesn't feel like the right play for me, and that would not be the fit I would want. You to put Ben Simmons and Draymond on the same team, okay, defensively, that's really nice. Offensively, you're going 3-on-5. I mean, that is not a championship proposition. At least it's not for me. So I don't know if the price would be low enough where the Warriors would start to bite. And if it got to that point, I'd be really surprised.
So then maybe the purpose of the tweet was from Daryl Morey. And if that's the case, does that basically say that Simmons is available to all takers if the Warriors are not one of them?
What's interesting there to me, Ray, is that from the end of that Game 7 against Atlanta, I'm watching that and I'm thinking, how the hell does Ben Simmons come back from this? How can he go into training camp in Philly? How can he be around all the pressure that will envelop him within that city and within that organization? And so I'd still be surprised if Simmons reappears with Embiid and Doc and the whole crew going into next year. So if you're Morey, I'm not sure what the best course of action is. You trust that he can bounce back mentally, and you trust that he's going to get the support he needs. I don't know. I mean, he's a heck of a player. But if you're the Sixers, I absolutely would be motivated to move him right now, because I think you realize, having watched what unfolded, that he just can't get it back together on that team. And if you know that, you're dealing from a position of weakness. You do not have the type of leverage that anybody would want in a negotiation, but that's tough. You know your team is better off without Ben Simmons, because you know that he can't handle everything that's coming in his way right now with the Sixers.
Our pal Nick Friedell talking some basketball. And look, this is a point that Kolsky brought up. I think it's very relevant. If the 76ers are trading this guy because they don't think they can win in the playoffs, why would a team with playoff aspirations want to trade for Ben Simmons? Mm-hmm. I will also acknowledge, he is more than our last memory of him. Our last memory of him was a mental disaster without a J, or maybe even a work ethic to find it at the free throw line. Ben Simmons is also kind of an NBA stud.
He is, but it's not a gamble I would take. And Damon, I couldn't agree with Matt's point more, in that if I'm the Warriors and I want to win right now, or I want to at least know this season whether or not I have the possibility to win, this goes back into what would you put into a potential deal. If it's me, I am not mortgaging my future and all these different picks that I have accumulated, especially after changing my coaching staff into a more player development friendly set of coaches who I know have a track record with working and developing younger guys, just to go get Ben Simmons. I don't believe that Ben Simmons is the answer the Warriors need, just like I don't believe that, as good as Bradley Beal is, that trading everything for Bradley Beal is going to get you where they want to go. So if it's me, I'm not worrying about it that much, because I am not going to put everything in the middle of the table on a guy who has such serious confidence issues around championship caliber guys like Steph Clay and Draymond, who not only have one, they know what it takes to win. And I don't know if they're going to have the patience at this point with a guy who needs to help them instantly rebuild what appears to be broken.
The back alley scuttlebutt about the Pascal deal was that they freed up $12 million. Is there any reason to think that isn't just trying to create room so that they can spend that slash $12 million somewhere else? And by that, I mean before this season starts. Or do you think they just need sort of the space to try to get a lot closer to the tax threshold?
Yeah, Ray, my read on it initially was, well, they're just clearing out a spot for somebody else. They just didn't think that Pascal could fit with what they needed him to do. They wanted to put him in a nice situation. I mean, we all know his relationship with Donovan Mitchell dates back years and years. But when I saw that Woj tweet pop up earlier, I was like, well, they're just clearing out a spot, because they've got a bunch of guaranteed contracts and money already on the books, and it goes back to what Matt was saying earlier. You clear out the space now, but, I mean, it's going to get filled. And the question for me and the Warriors fans who have been around for years, they understand Joe Lacob has earned the benefit of the doubt. He's going to spend the money wherever he feels like he needs to improve. But the question for me is now, do you use that taxpayer mid-level? And so whether or not they fill Pascal's spot with a veteran or not, I mean, I think that's coming. I just don't know who the name is out there who is going to be worth, because it's not 5.9 with the repeater tax implications. It's like $30 million. What guy? And I struggled. Patty Mills would have been a nice fit, but guys, Patty Mills for $30 million? I mean, I know it's not my money, but damn, I don't know if I'd be willing to write that check either.
They told me they already made $2 billion off Chase Center and that it's a $700 million a year revenue cow. I don't want to hear about $12 million and $30 million they can't spend. I just don't. And I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, but just because $30 million sounds like a lot to me doesn't mean the guy who's raking in $700 a year shouldn't want to spend it.
And I know that you speak for a lot of fans there, and I understand that. But what I always tell fans, always in the NBA, is this is a business. And Lacob has spent a hell of a lot more money than a lot of owners we know. And I know, Matt, to your point, I know, fans don't want to hear that. They don't care. Just spend the money. Just get the player in. Try to help us win more games. That is a fair, fair point. I'm just telling you, having been around the league for a while now, there are a ton of owners who wouldn't spend close to what this guy has already spent. Now, is it fair to criticize if he's not going to use this taxpayer mid-level? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm just telling you from a business standpoint, I don't see a player out there who you're going to look at and go, oh, yeah, okay, this makes sense. But this is the Warriors' summer. I mean, are we really feeling good about Otto Porter, Bielitsa? I mean, I like the fit on paper, but Otto Porter, Bielitsa, and Andre. Yeah, assuming that deal goes through.
We got a boogie here real fast, Nick, but let's wrap up with this. It was supposed to be the summer of, what, Dennis Schroeder, and that's not happening. So maybe is he left without a chair in the game of musical chairs, which allows the Warriors to approach him for less than he expected?
It could be, but Damon, if you're going from 85 or 90, at least thinking you're getting that to 5.9, that is a hell of a hard fall from grace. So it's, I guess anything's possible because the music is about to stop, but that would surprise me if Schroeder took that kind of cut, thinking he was going to get that kind of level just a few months ago.
Real quick, lightning round. Who gets the first NBA bucket of next year? Justinian Jessup, LaMarcus Aldridge, or Alan Smilagich?
Oh, man. Give me Aldridge. Give me the known quantity.
Wow.
I don't know if
wow.
we'll ever see Smiley again in too many NBA games. So, and Jessup, who knows what's going to happen there. But farewell to Smiley. What an interesting experience that was.
Thank you, as always, Nick. Always a pleasure, man.
You got it. See you guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.